Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So the wedding that I officiated a couple of weeks ago for one of my former students up in Fort Worth, it was unique in a few ways. First, because of the schedule of the venue where we were having the ceremony, we had to have the rehearsal on Thursday night while the wedding itself was on Sunday afternoon. Now also, they were going to have a DJ bring a sound system that would run the music for the not only the reception, but also for the wedding ceremony itself. But he wasn't able to be there on Thursday night for the rehearsal, so we didn't do any run-through with the music. Now that wouldn't necessarily pose a problem in some circumstances. However, the song that was chosen for the entrance of the bride had a longer than usual intro, and I, along with others, did not know this. And so the wedding began, and the grandparents and the mothers were seated. The groom, he came in, and then the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, they entered and they took their places. And then the music for the bride began. And the doors were shut at the back, but they were actually opaque doors, so we couldn't make out all of the details of the bride's dress, but we could see that the father and the bride had taken their place right at the doors. And so because the music had already begun, and because I saw them at the doors, just as we rehearsed, I told everyone to rise. And they did. And then we waited. And the music continued to play, and we waited. And as the minister, I began to have all of these thoughts start running through my head. Is she nervous? Is she having second thoughts? Are we about to pull the plug on this whole wedding and send everybody home? And as the one that had walked with them through months of premarital counseling, getting them ready not only for the wedding ceremony, but also for their marriage. Certainly, that was not my desire. I wanted to see the job through to completion. But thankfully, things did not stop short. The music hit this climactic moment, the doors opened, and the bride had her grand entrance, and the wedding continued on as planned. So last week, we began a new series in the book of Haggai titled, Think Carefully About Your Ways. And as we look at the book of Haggai, things had not continued on as planned. If you remember, in the year 536 BC, the people began to rebuild the temple. But in the year 534 BC, 2 years later, all efforts had stopped. And now 14 years have passed in the year 520 BC, and the temple still sat there incomplete. 14 years, that's way longer than an intro to a song. So God sent the prophet Haggai to go and speak to the people, to call them to finish the job, to finish rebuilding the temple. And if you remember, part of calling them to finish rebuilding the temple meant refocusing their priorities and beginning to sacrifice, because their comfort had taken precedent over their calling. So let me pause right here and ask this morning, has your comfort taken precedent over your calling? Let me ask that again. Has your comfort taken precedent over your calling? You know, it's so easy for us to allow our comfort to get in the way of the things that we need to do. So in our house, in our living room, we have a giant, comfortable couch. And on that couch, I have my spot. Anyone else have their spot? Right? Amen. So I have my spot. If our kids, if we're watching a family movie, my kids know to keep that spot open for me, or else I'm going to tell them to move because that's my spot. Right? It's the perfect distance from the TV. I can put my feet up on the ottoman. It's got the end table next to it, so I can set my Topo Chico down. And it even has the armrest so I can lean on. It is my place of comfort. So when I get home from work in the afternoons, I know that before I sit down in my spot, if there is anything else that needs to be done, if there's any pressing issue that needs to be dealt with, I know that I have to do that before I sit down in my spot, because as soon as I sit down in that spot, my comfort is going to take over. Right? I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to settle into that place of comfort, and I'm not going to want to do anything else. Our comfort has a way of getting in the way of doing the things that we need to do. So has your comfort taken precedent over your calling? Sadly, just like the Israelites here in the book of Haggai, as believers, I think all too often we allow for our comfort to take precedent over the things that we have been called to do. And instead of doing what God's called us to do, we just settle into that place of comfort. And we just do nothing instead. And so examine your heart, examine your life. And if you would say that your comfort has taken precedent over your calling, maybe not in every area, but maybe in some areas of your life, then I would encourage you to repent of that, that you might begin doing once again the things that God has called you to do. As we look at our passage today, we're going to see that the people in the book of Haggai, God's people, they begin to do what God has called them to do once again. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Haggai chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Haggai 2, 1 through 9. Now as you're turning there, I want to take you back to Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. After Haggai spoke to the people, after calling them to refocus their priorities, after calling them to begin sacrificing their time, their efforts, their resources, after God calls them to begin rebuilding the temple, to focus their efforts on his house instead of on their own houses, we read these words at the start of verse 14. The Lord roused the spirit of Zerubbabel. We don't use that word roused that often anymore, but it's this idea that Zerubbabel and the people had been lulled to sleep by their comfort. But when they heard Haggai speak these words from the Lord, suddenly they were awakened. So this week was the start of school for Stockdale ISD and many of the surrounding school districts, and all the parents said amen, right? And so while our kids may have been able to sleep in throughout the course of the summer, this week they had to begin waking up early once again. Now, I don't know about your kids, but in my house on the first day of school, there was no struggle waking up in the morning. When those lights came on, they got up and they got moving. Now, I'm sure that's not going to be the way it is every day throughout the course of this school year. I'm not a prophet. In fact, this is a nonprofit organization. But I don't foresee that our kids are not going to struggle throughout the course of this school year. I'm sure that the days are coming when those lights come on or those alarms go off and they're a little bit groggy. They're struggling to get out of bed, having a tough time getting moving. But on the first day, they got up and they got moving. So when we see that the spirit of Zerubbabel was roused or awakened by this word from the Lord, it's not this idea that he was groggy in his spirit or that he was slow to move. It's this idea that when the word of the Lord came to them through the prophet Haggai, the image that we have is that he got up and he got moving. He was awakened in his spirit and he began to move and the people got to work. So let me ask you this morning, do you need to be awakened in your spirit by God's word today? Maybe you need to be awakened in your spirit because you have never come to know Jesus as your Lord. And so today you just need to hear that simple message of the gospel once again, that we have all sinned and that our sin separates us from God and it demands a sacrifice. But God, in his great love for us, sent Jesus Christ into this world as that sacrifice for us to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And if anyone will call upon the name of Jesus, they will be saved. You have the opportunity to hear that word from the Lord today and to be awakened in your spirit that you might respond obediently. But maybe you have responded to that call and you are a believer already. Maybe you are more like the Israelites where you have been lulled to sleep by your comfort and you simply just haven't been doing the things that God has called you to do. And so today, you need to hear God's word and you need to be awakened in your spirit that you might get up and get to work, that you might get moving, that you might once again walk in obedience to the Lord. If that's you, then as we read our passage this morning, would you allow for God to rouse your spirit? So with that in mind, let's read Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It says, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you. The declaration of the Lord of armies. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Now, as we look at this passage, we understand that when God spoke, the people were awakened in their spirits, and they began to do once again what God had called them to do. But even when we are walking in obedience to the Lord, sometimes we can still get discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged because we are focused on the size of the work. While our eyes might be on the Lord in the beginning, somewhere along the way, we take our eyes off of the Lord and we begin to look at just how big what God has called us to do is and just how small we are. And so we begin to look at the size of the work and we allow for discouragement to set in. Sometimes we get discouraged because we're focused on the length of the work. In other words, we get discouraged because things are taking longer than maybe we might like it to. This is especially true for us in our world today where we can have packages delivered to our doorsteps only 1 to 2 days after we click that order button, right? And if it's going to take longer than 1 to 2 days, if you're on a website, you see, man, it's going to take 5 days. What's wrong with that company? Right? I'm not buying from them. Right? We are used to getting things very quickly, but sometimes what the Lord calls us to takes time. And so instead of focusing on the size of the work or the length of the work, we are called to focus on the Lord. So I want you to hear me this morning. When we focus on the Lord, we find encouragement. Listen, the Lord is not going to discourage us from doing what he's called us to do. Other people might discourage us. The enemy is certainly going to discourage us. Sometimes our own hearts will discourage us from doing what the Lord has called us to do. But God is never going to discourage us from walking in obedience to him. So when we focus on the Lord, we find encouragement. And so what we see here in Haggai chapter 2, in chapter 1, we see that they hear this word from the Lord, they wake up, they begin to get to work, But now Haggai is sent once again to speak to the people. In chapter 1, it was more of a message of rebuke that God sent Haggai to speak over them. This time, Haggai goes with a word from the Lord that's really a message of encouragement. And so we see three encouragements, three things that God encourages the people to do in this passage. And these are going to be encouragements to us as well today. First, God encouraged them to remember their past. Let's read verse 3 again. It says, Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? God encouraged them to remember their past. So Haggai spoke to the people about 66 years after the first temple had been destroyed. And so certainly there were still some older men and older women among them who had seen the first temple in its former glory. Now, when that first temple was built, Solomon spared no expense. He bought the best materials. He hired the best people to do the work. The first temple was majestic, and so there were people there that remembered just how great that first temple was. But not only that, they also remembered how they had seen God move. And so this encouragement to remember the past was not really to point them to the greatness of the temple. It was really to remind them of the greatness of their God. Church, be reminded of the greatness of our God. Be reminded of the greatness of our God. You know, for the last couple of years, we've gone back to Alto Frio for both youth camp and children's camp. And this year, I was able to find a picture hanging in the cafeteria. It was taken of a group of people in the year 1925. And in that picture was my grandpa as a young teenager. And so as we think about the more than 100 years that Alto Frio has been in existence, many of us have memories from what the Lord did in our lives at Alto Frio. Some of those memories are more recent, some of those are not so recent. I'm just saying, right? But here's the deal. What has made Alto Frio so great over the many decades, it's not the cabins, it's not the tabernacle, it's not even the river. What's made Alto Frio so great over the many decades is the movement of God's Spirit. And I think this is so important for us to remember because we can easily misplace our focus on the camp. We can easily misplace our focus on a building. We can easily misplace our focus on a pastor. We can easily misplace our focus on all of these other things, and we miss the most important part all together. It's not about the greatness of the camp. It's not about the greatness of the temple. It's about the greatness of our God. So be reminded of the greatness of our God. Listen, apart from God, the former temple would have meant nothing. And apart from God, the new temple that was being rebuilt would also mean nothing. And so God was encouraging them to be reminded of His greatness, because this is what was happening. Some of those older individuals that saw the first temple in their former glory, and now they were seeing the new temple being built, they thought there's no way that this new temple will ever compare to the first temple. There's no way that it's going to be as good as what the first temple was. You see, it's so easy to not simply remember the good things of the past, but to begin clinging to the good things of the past. But when we cling to the things of the past, we can easily miss what God has for our present. So we remember the past and we remember the great things that God did in the past, not so we can cling to the things of the past, but so that we can be reminded of the greatness of our God, so that we can see Him move in our lives and in our church once again today. So God encouraged them to remember their past. Second, God encouraged them to work in their present. Let's read verse 4 again. It says, "Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel." This is the Lord's declaration. "Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land." This is the Lord's declaration. "Work, for I am with you, the declaration of the Lord of armies. God encouraged them to work in their present. While certainly the work had already begun, God's encouragement to them was to continue the work, that they wouldn't be discouraged like they had become 14 years earlier and stopped all efforts and didn't finish the temple. God wanted them this time to begin the work and to continue the work that they might complete the work. And this is an encouragement to us as well in a couple of ways. It's an encouragement to us as we think about this new building project, the youth and children's building that God has called us to build here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Last week, I shared the exciting news that we have raised enough funds to lay the foundation. And so in the coming days, we are going to have a groundbreaking ceremony and celebration, and we are going to get to work on laying that foundation. And while that is something that we want to celebrate, we also have to remember that laying the foundation is not the completion of the project. It's just the beginning of the project. So 16 years earlier, when the foundation was laid for the temple, there was a celebration. In Ezra 3, 12 and 13, we read that there were loud shouts of joy celebrating the foundation being laid. And yet, even though there was this great celebration when that foundation was laid, there was no work to follow through. And so the project was not seen through to completion. The temple was not seen through to completion. And so as we get ready to lay our foundation for the youth and children's building, we are reminded that while we want to take time to celebrate this great milestone, the work is not finished. We must continue to pray. We must continue to commit. We must continue to sacrificially give that we might see more than just the foundation laid, but that we would see the building all the way through to completion, because God has called us also to begin the work and to continue the work that we might complete the work. But this is also an encouragement to us in more of a general sense as a believer, because we are reminded that our service to the Lord must continue until our work is complete. Now, when I refer to our work, I'm not referring to a work that can lead to our salvation. Only Christ's work on the cross can do that, and that is a completed work. But we are reminded that we are called to walk in obedience to the Lord and to serve the Lord until our work in this life is complete, and that work is only complete when the Lord calls us home. But I want to remind you what we see surrounding that word work. We see that word work once in that passage, but we see surrounding that word, we see this: be strong, be strong, be strong, for I am with you. You know, as we think about that word work, it has somewhat of an exhausting connotation, because let's be honest, life is busy and life is tiresome. And it's very easy to grow weary in the midst of the work. But God doesn't call us to do this work in our own strength. Rather, we are called to look to Him that we might depend on His strength. And so I want you to hear me this morning. His strength is enough. And maybe you need that reminder today to hear that His strength is enough, because maybe you feel tired and weary. Maybe you feel stretched thin, like you're being pulled in every direction. So hear me say it again. His strength is enough. And as we look to His word, we are reminded that His strength is a promise to us when we walk in obedience to Him. So God encouraged them to remember their past, and He encouraged them to work in their present. Finally, this morning, God encouraged them to look forward to their future. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, "The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies." God encouraged them to look forward to their future. This is what God is saying to them. I did great things in the past, but the best is yet to come. I moved in the past, but the best is yet to come. Yes, the old temple was great, but the best is yet to come. I want you to hear me, First Baptist Church, Stockdale. God has done some great things in the past, but the best is yet to come. Over the last 149 years, God has moved greatly in this church body. Many of you are here today because you were saved through the ministries of this church, whether it was Sunday school, vacation Bible school, RAs and GAs, camp. You saw God move in your life in some mighty ways in the past. As we look at just the last 2 years, we have seen God move in some incredible ways. 46 baptisms in 2 years. 14 of those this year. We've seen salvations, we've seen rededications, we've seen families joining this church body. We have seen God move in some mighty ways. We say here that we have a new normal where it is abnormal to not see a baptism on a Sunday morning. It is abnormal to not have something special going on like a family dedication. It's abnormal to not see people responding during the invitation. That's abnormal here. We have a new normal here at First Baptist Church. But even as we look at what God has done the last 149 years and what God has done over the last 2 years, we have seen God move in some mighty ways, but I want you to hear it again. The best is yet to come. God is not done moving, He's not done saving, and He is not done transforming. And so we don't just look to the past with great memories, we look to the future with great hope, because the best is yet to come. But as we say that the best is yet to come, understand all of that really has nothing to do with a building. For the Israelites, it really had nothing to do with the temple. God was just using something physical to do something spiritual in their lives. It really doesn't have to do with a building. It has everything to do with Jesus. All of this is about our Lord. And if you have never come to know Jesus as your Lord today, then I want to give you the opportunity to come to know Him this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. And just as I said at the beginning, I'll say it again. Would you allow for God to rouse or awaken your spirit today? That you would respond obediently to Him. Maybe you're here and you have never given your life to Christ, but you have heard the gospel this morning. You have heard the good news. And today, maybe you are ready to respond to Jesus. You are ready to say, I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me. I need you to be my Lord. If that's you, then as we sing this last song, would you join me down front? I'm going to be standing right here. Would you join me? I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to see you declare Jesus as Lord today. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? Jesus is my Lord. I've given my life to Christ. But maybe, like the Israelites, you just need to refocus your priorities. You need to recommit your life. If that's you, then I'd love to talk with you as well. You can publicly rededicate your life, recommit your life to Christ this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never publicly declared Christ as Lord through baptism. We have some more scheduled already. But I'd love to get yours on the schedule as well. If you need to make that public declaration of faith in Christ through baptism, then as we sing this song, respond. Let's talk, let's pray, let's make that commitment together today. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, I've been baptized by immersion already, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, to join in what God is doing in this church as a member here of this body. If God's calling you to become a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. And we can make that commitment this morning. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, as we sing, would you respond to His Spirit obediently? Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.